Dear friends, we gather this day on the traditional and unceded territory of the Algonquin Nation.
May we always dwell in this land with respect and peace.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Merciful Lord, grant to your faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Isaiah. Appelle à plaigosier, ne te ménage pas, comme la trompette, enfle ta voix. Annonce à mon peuple ses révoltes, à la maison de Jacob ses fautes. C'est moi que jour après jour il consulte. C'est à connaître mes chemins qu'il mettra le plaisir. Comme une nation qui a pratiqué la justice et n'a pas abandonné le droit de son Dieu. Ils exigent de moi des jugements selon la justice. Ils mettent le plaisir dans la proximité de Dieu. Que nous sert de jeûner si tu ne le vois pas, de nous humilier si tu ne le sais pas? Or, le jour de votre jeûne, vous savez tomber sur une bonne affaire, et tous vos gens de peine vous les brutalisent. Or, vous jeûnez tout en cherchant querelles et disputes et en frappant du poing méchamment. Vous ne jeûnez pas comme il convient à un jour où vous voulez faire entendre là-haut votre voix. Doit-il être comme cela, le jeûne que je préfère, le jour où l'homme s'humilie? S'agit-il de courber la tête comme un jonc, d'étaler en litière sac et cendre? Est-ce pour cela que tu proclames un jeûne, un jour en faveur auprès du Seigneur? Le jeûne que je préfère, n'est-ce pas ceci? Dénouer les liens provenant de la méchanceté, détacher les courroies du joug, renvoyer libres ceux qui ployaient, bref, que vous mettiez en pièces tous les jours. N'est-ce pas partager ton pain avec la famille? Et encore, les pauvres sans-abri, tu les hébergeras. Si tu vois quelqu'un nu, tu le couvriras. Devant celui qui est ta propre chair, tu ne te déroberas pas. Alors, ta lumière poindra comme l'aurore et ton rétablissement s'opérera très vite. Ta justice marchera devant toi et la gloire du Seigneur sera ton arrière-garde. Alors, tu appelleras, et le Seigneur répondra. Tu es l'aura, et il dira, me voici. Si tu élimines de chez toi le joug, le doigt accusateur, la parole malfaisante, si tu cèdes à la famille ta propre bouchée, et si tu rassaisis le gosier de l'humilié, ta lumière se lèvera dans les ténèbres, ton obscurité sera comme un midi. Sans cesse, le Seigneur te guidera. En plein fournaise, il rassasiera ton gosier. Tes eaux, il les cuira sera. Tu seras comme un jardin saturé, comme une fontaine d'eau, dont les eaux ne déçoivent pas. On rebâtira grâce à toi les dévastations du passé, les fondations laissées de génération en génération. Tu les relèveras. On t'appellera réparateur des brèches, restaurateur des ruelles pour qu'on y habite. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thank you. to the Corinthians. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Yet among the mature, we do speak wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age, who are doomed to perish. But we speak God's wisdom, secret and hidden, which God decreed before the ages of our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human being knows what is truly human except the human spirit that is within? So also no one comprehends what is truly God's except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. As we speak of these things in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things to those who are spiritual. Those who are unspiritual do not receive the gifts of God's Spirit, for they are foolishness to them, and they are unable to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Those who are spiritual discern all things, and they are themselves subject to no one else's scrutiny. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thank you. Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
As you walk the good road with me, you are the salt of the earth, bringing cleansing and healing to all. Salt is good as a good thing, but if it loses its saltiness, how will it get its flavor back? That kind of salt has no worth and is thrown out. As you walk the road with me, you are a light shining in the dark world. A village built on a hill cannot be hidden. No one hides a torch under a basket. Instead, it is lifted up high on a pole so all who are in the house can see it in the same way. Let your light shine by doing what is good and right. When others see, they will give honor to your Father, the one alone, the one above us all. When you hear my words, you may think I have come to undo the law given by drawn from the water and the words of the prophets, but I have come to honor them and show everyone their true meaning. I speak from my heart. As long as there is a sky above and an earth below, not even the smallest thing they have said will fade away until everything they have said has found its full meaning and purpose. Anyone who turns away from these instructions and tells others to do the same will be looked down on as a small one on Creator's good road from the spirit world above. But the ones who do them and teach others to do the same, they will be looked to as great ones. I will say this to you, unless you have a better reputation than the scroll keepers and the separated ones, you will not find the path that leads to the land of Creator's good road from above. The Gospel of Christ.
Please be seated. I want to center my thoughts to be shared with you today with three short clauses that will focus, I hope, a part of the message that is coming through. The first one is, me voici, or here I am, as in our first reading. And before I go further on that bit, I just want to remind you that all that we talk about in this passage and so much of the scriptures is about the house of Jacob, i.e. the nation. It's not about some individual, you, me, or others even. It's about the nation. And the nation has discovered, as they see, cut off, I guess would be the way to put it, cut off from God. And they can't know why. They cannot figure it out. Well, the message, Isaiah says, they live as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness. Surely not a bad practice. They fast, he says,
But God doesn't seem to notice. To which there is a reply, needless to say. Sung fast that is, the reply comes. Sung fast that is. It seeks your own interest, and you oppress your workers in order to achieve it. That kind of fast, he suggests, you sure will not be able to hear the Lord. Not the Lord has left us, not God has abandoned us, but there's a blockage there somewhere, and we know so often where they can be found. Here's what a real fast is like, says the scripture. The fast that God would choose. It's a fast directed to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free. Its impact, then, must be to share your bread with the hungry, to bring the homeless poor into your house. That is our fast, suggests Isaiah. When it gets like that, he says, your light shall break forth like the dawn. And that is when God says, here I am, me voici. The otherwise absent God suddenly becomes remarkably available when our call for righteousness joins our hands with activity for the hungry, the oppressed, and the homeless. The second bit I would like to share with you, some thoughts with you at least, is God's wisdom is secret and hidden. Not much of a text for a preaching, is it? But it's there. I cannot declare the mystery of God in lofty words or wisdom, says St. Paul, writing to the Corinthians. A better description is this. I came in weakness and in fear. And let me hasten to tell you, it's not a fear of the Donald Trump type. No, not at all. Rather, it is fear best expressed and described as awe. The awe one has in the presence of an indescribable God who loves us. The wisdom Paul proclaims is neither the wisdom of this age nor of its rulers. The wisdom comes from elsewhere, he says. There is but one way that wisdom can be comprehended, and it's by the Spirit of Christ crucified. I've never seen a crucifixion. I don't know if you have, but I'm guessing probably not. But we've all had opportunities, if we wish, to listen to or to read, read what a crucifixion is like. And anyone who has done that would find it very difficult to think that any community would be able to believe that, i.e. crucifixion, is the way to power and success, or the might, but not to God's wisdom. It turns, as so much of our scriptures do, you know, it turns generally held values upside down. It's the wrong way up. Now, the apparent hidden and secret nature of God's wisdom is known. Where? In the Spirit of God, he says. It is the Spirit, well, Spirit's open to a fair bit of interpretation. It is the Spirit, they say, excuse me, which created all in love. And another mark of that same Spirit is that it seeks restoration wherever it is broken. The Spirit, which can declare this with a straight face, the way to life is through death. This really is a tough one to comprehend. I'm guessing most of us have experienced a death of a family member, a friend, a personality, somebody. And what you feel at that time as a human being and naturally is not that new life. To proclaim that is upside down for us, but is the Spirit which seeks restoration in all. This really is tough, as I say, yet it is the one by which we come to understand the gifts God bestows on the faithful people as and when they gather and serve. It doesn't matter who that is, and this is consistently held throughout the scriptures. Often it is the people of God, but often it is not. And so they have experiences like being sent to Babylon to see if you can straighten it out, see it right, get it upside down, we might say. It's true for the Israelite, it's true for Christians, it's true for a Muslim, although that's not in the scripture part. It is true that in the ongoing story of our scriptures, we find the life of that creation, and we speak of God's wisdom, secret and hidden. There is that need for experience to find life through the light of the Spirit. And then the third one is from the Gospel. It is no longer good for anything. Okay? That's a good starting point too, isn't it? It's talking of salt, of course. In this case, I didn't start from scripture to look around and see what was going on, but I went to the real authority. You know, right straight from our 21st century wisdom. Google, I think it's called. And, these are some of the things I found. I don't know if Jesus knew this. He hadn't read the book, certainly. I don't know if he knew it, but, it begins with, salt is vital for the humans, for nerve function, muscle contraction, and fluid balance. Probably right. If you've been out of balance occasionally with it, you know it's right. It is a major food preservative and a flavor enhancer, which of course is often the interpretation we turn to first in the scriptures, partly because it's more than hinted there. But it is a major preservative and enhancer, which does a great job, except with excessive intake. And then it gets linked to high blood pressure, heart stroke, disease, and you could go on. You know about it. Going away from just us and our bodies, if we think of winter, which you may today, actually this isn't so true today. Salt can't do its job, they tell me when it's so cold. But it is used when it is usable to de-ice whatever, excuse me, to de-ice the, by lowering the melting point. Salt also softens water. It rusts things if it gets accompanied with too much moisture. And the list does go on a bit longer, but maybe you get the idea. Salt is a yes, but there's a time to throw it out. Discerning that, the gospel says, is the task of the people of God. It serves many functions, but it can reach a state of no longer good for anything. So as a model, as an image of who God is and how God operates, it has limitations. But it's not bad. The one that seems to hit us in the scripture, though, without limitation, is that of light. No concern for its deterioration and other things that happen to it. I read some Google stuff on that too, but I lost interest quickly. I don't know about you. But in fact, in the scripture, light is given a more positive and in fact reassuring declaration as a mark of God's people, as what our presence as a community, as a nation, can be when we have it with us. The talk of light draws from everyday experience. We all know light. I can't tell you how many times either I or somebody to whom I'm talking has raised, have you noticed how long the days are getting? Did you see how much more light we have? And yeah, I notice that every January, I think maybe 10th or so, and watch every day to see what's happening and find that it gets longer by 2 minutes one day and 5 minutes the next one, and then it's getting, isn't it wonderful? And it gives, even out there, hope, because there's the light shining upon it, the sun. It's also used in other figurative ways. For example, Israel's deep tradition, be a light to the nations, and what that means. And that was designed for the people of Israel in the anywhere from 5 BC on. Failure is never mentioned when we talk about light. Rather, what it expresses is optimism about the transformative impact it can have in the lively community that is open to the light, in the life, in the center of that community. Transformation is empowered by Jesus as our teacher, as our friend, as our presence in all we do, particularly focused in the Eucharist we share today. So we've got these three pieces, three little quotes that I have chosen. Here I am. God's wisdom is secret and hidden. It is no longer good for anything. And the next thing we have to do then is find, well, so what? What do we do about it? And I think my time is up. Oh, yeah. So, we'll just have to work that out all together, day by day, as we meet, as we work, as we love, as we learn, and as we share the life of Christ. Amen.
Loving God, O love who pursues even when we flee, we confess that we have grown weary in loving, quick to despair when prayers seem unanswered. Yet it was you who sustained Monica in her distress, and through your servant Ambrose gave her the assurance that the child of so many tears shall never perish. Ingrain in us such a steadfast faith, patient in waiting, confident in your care, and trusting in your hidden work. Teach us to entrust the past to your mercy, the present to your love, and the future to your providence. And so, with hearts lifted and voices joined, we pray to you, singing together. Physician of our souls, you have scattered signs of yourself through all that is made, yet we have sought ourselves in them instead of you. In our excess, we have ravaged the fruit of your garden, crushing the soil and the saplings entrusted to our stewardship. The earth bears the strain of our disordered love, fields exhausted, waters burdened, skies unsettled. Heal the root of our misdirected love. Teach us to receive without grasping, to tend without wounding, and to dwell within your creation with reverence and restraint. And so, with hearts lifted and voices joined, we pray to you, singing together. Spirit of truth and grace, you are the most hidden from us, yet are the most near, and the most present among us, gathering many hearts into one body in Christ. When our love turns inward, you draw it back into communion. Hold your church steady in truth, and give us a longing for you above all passing things. Bless Anne, our metropolitan, Shane, our primate, and Gary, our rector and pastor. Renew Alan, Christina, Pat, Barb, Monica, and Nick with patience, courage, and quiet fidelity. May our worship be sincere and undivided, and our common life reflect the love by which you first loved us. And so, with hearts lifted and voices joined, we pray to you, singing together. Lord Jesus, companion of the sorrowful, you dwell with those whose souls are restless with grief and fear. You welcome all who come to you, though you have never lost them. We lift before you the sick, the weary, those awake in the night with pain or sorrow, and those who tend them with faithful hands. Teach us to bear one another's burdens, as you have borne ours. Let our compassion reflect your mercy, formed by your sacrifice, and strengthened by your cross. In our frailty, make room for your grace, and in our suffering, let hope quietly endure. And so, with hearts lifted and voices joined, we pray to you, singing together. Lord Jesus, our peace and refuge, you stood unshielded before those who sought your life. In your humility, you exposed the poverty of force and the emptiness of conquest. Break in us the will to prevail at any cost. Shape in us the peace that suffers rather than retaliates. We pray for the innocent swept up in struggles beyond their making, for families in Palestine and Israel, in Russia and Ukraine, for those in Iran living amidst unrest and repression, for the people of Sudan, and for those cruelly struck down while seeking safety, and for the forgotten Sahrawi refugees, long exiled to the confines of land they once called home. Be the companion and solace to all who are caught in the violence of nations. Shelter the innocent, Restrain the hand that rises in revenge. In a world quick to strike and slow to listen, teach us to lay down the sword and take up your mercy. And so with hearts lifted and voices joined, we pray to you, singing together. Most present, we lift up before you those who carry the burden of leadership. Mark, our Prime Minister, Doug and Francois, our Premiers, Mark and Maud, our Mayors. When their decisions are heavy and their council divided, be the quiet measure of their judgment. When they are tempted by haste, grant them patience. When they fear weakness, guide them towards the strength of restraint. Give them clarity beyond partisanship, steadiness beyond pressure, and hearts attentive to the least heard among us. May their leadership become a shelter and their service a reflection of your righteous care. And so with hearts lifted and voices joined, we pray to you, singing together. Nearer to us than our inmost selves, we give you thanks. You are not the God of absence, but of hidden keeping. Comfort those who mourn, and teach us to remember that what has been loved in you is not undone by death, nor is it scattered beyond your reach. In their departure, we are taught again that love is not possession, but a gift received from you and returned to you. Today, we remember especially those commemorated with the flowers at the altar, given to the glory of God, and in loving memory of Gerald and Edith Nicholson by their son-in-law, Bill Brookton. When memory aches, be its gentleness. When silence feels heavy, be its hope. Teach us to trust that no love offered in you is ever wasted, and that all our scattered affections will be gathered, purified, and made whole in your presence. And so with hearts lifted and voices joined, we pray to you, singing together.
Lord, in your mercy,
God of restless hearts, you were within us, and we were far from ourselves. You called, and your call broke through our deafness. You shone, and your light scattered our blindness. You touched us, and we burned for your peace. Gather us now that into that sweetness which does not fade, into that beauty so ancient yet ever new. Let our wandering end in you. Let our longing rest in you. Let our love be gathered into yours. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our peace, and our joy. Amen.
I know the truth and living. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. The blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and strengthen you and keep you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Serve the Lord.